Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly's back with us today with some more word. Oh, Kelly, we're looking forward to it.
We're getting free.
Thank you for coming and teaching us today.
You're welcome. You know, when he whom the sun sets free is free
indeed. Amen.
That's us. That free indeed has just meant so much to me because free in truth.
Yeah.
Actuality.
Yeah.
Not just a promise, not just a, you know, of course, any of his promises are true. And we read in John 8, we can trust his word.
That's right.
We can take
Thank
him
God.
At his word. But when you take him at his word, you become free in actuality.
That's true. And in the circumstances.
Your circumstances.
Yeah.
Oh, and in your heart. You know, you really have to be, you have to get free in your soul. You have to get free in your spirit before you can get free in your soul. And you have to get free in your soul before you can get free out here. You know, there's the Message translation. I wasn't going to read this again, but I will. It's just so good. The Message translation in the of Matthew 5, it's the Beatitudes. It's just so good because this is really describes what we've been talking about the last week and a half. It says, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world.
What verse was that? Five what?
Matthew 5 something. You know, the Message.
Okay.
He doesn't always give you that's probably 8 and 9.
That is good. Read it again.
It says, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right.
Oh, that's
then right. You can see God in the outside world.
That is
You're
true.
Blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. I mean, we sort of talked about that yesterday.
That's
about
excellent. I like that.
When you quit judging, you quit striving and being unforgiveness with people, when you get clean on the inside. You get free, it makes you free on the outside.
That goes back to judge yourself.
And it helps you not...
And you'll not be judged.
That's true. And when you're free, you want to let everybody else be free too.
That's right.
And so that, it really goes with this when it says, shows people how to cooperate instead of compete and fight. And when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. I mean, we have a place and a purpose in his family. God wants to be able to use us to help others, to minister to others.
Yep.
But we can't, when we try to help people without letting Jesus help us first, we're not very good at it.
We're not very receivable, are we?
And that, let me help you becomes, let me control you. Let me manipulate you. And you know,
sometimes
you can't, well, but when you haven't let Jesus help you, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so you can't help somebody until he's helped you first. You can't understand how to do that in love till he's helped. Otherwise, there's a lot of pride involved in it. And he wants to do big things with us. There's the last 2 days of this week's broadcast. Today's the middle. But the last 2 days, I really want to talk about some new realms, some power places he wants us to walk in.
Good.
But there's this junk that tries to get in the way. So I found a wonderful scripture, Mom. You're going to like this.
We'll find a junk heap and dump it.
We're going to dump it today. Listen to this. Now, Jeremiah in chapter 12, now, this is in the face of his complaints of the people that he was sent to. God sent him to these people, and he was not happy about it. So God said this to him, Mom.
What verse?
This is in chapter 12, verse 5. And remember, I just said, you know, talking about, where did that scripture go? I want to reiterate it. Finding your place in God's family, finding who you really are, who he wants you to be in,
Amen.
And who your what your place is. So God says this to him, if racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against horses? Isn't that odd? I love that, because if this stuff, just mundane, Jesus called it in John 8, that message, mundane stuff, ties you down.
Yeah.
Relationships
Everyday
with people.
Thing.
You can't get past relationships with people. Can't get past the thoughts about your own self that are in your own head. Can't get past this junk in your soul. If racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against horses? He's got big stuff for us. How are we going to do that? If we haven't conquered this junk, how am I going to help him help others, which I know is part of my call, if I haven't opened up my heart for him to help me?
Amen.
If you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do in the thickets near Jordan? So, in other words, God's got big stuff, but we can't be tied to the junk.
That's right.
And that's what he wants us all to be free from. And he's so gracious
scripture.
And wonderful.
I think I've already quoted it maybe once or twice while we've been talking, but the scripture says, forgive if you have aught against any. If you have anything against anybody, your word, your commandment, your order of the day is to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you forgive, what happens? You go free. I mean, you're not even hurting them if you hold unforgiveness about them. It's what they do that opens the door to situations for them or blesses them. But when we forgive, if we have anything against anybody, we get to go free.
Mom, you can say that every day and it wouldn't be too much.
I'm telling you, it's an awesome thing to think about.
Remember when people said, Brother Hagin, when are you going to quit teaching faith? And he said, when you get it.
Yeah.
But you know, Mom, that's the thing that it's so critical. Even, you know, if we don't let people go free, then we can't go free. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, your sins can't be forgiven.
Uh-huh. So what does
that's
that do?
That's so serious. It ties you to it.
Yeah, faith works by love. You can't work faith without love. So you could say you can't work faith without forgiving. Because love forgives if it has aught against any.
And that's
Psalm,
awesome. It is. It's so powerful, but so easy. It's not
easy,
hard.
Easy.
Because he's here to help.
And then when you do forgive, what happens? You go free.
You
don't have to carry that. Somebody does you wrong. I mean, they could have really done you wrong. Every day you think about it. Every day you just want to say ugly things about them. Every day it comes across. What's it doing? It's stealing your joy.
Yeah.
But he said the way we could be free is to forgive if we have anything against anybody.
And he's not asking you to do it by yourself.
He'll help.
He's right here with you. That's what he wants. He wants entry into those things. You know what Brother Jesse said? He said, you're cheating on your future with your past.
Boy, isn't that good.
I thought that was good. You're cheating on God has for you in the future.
That's exactly right.
By playing around with your past.
Amen.
And he's ready for us to dump this stuff because he's got so much for us to do and so much
and also
for us to walk in.
How to go about that. It says, Be quick to forgive.
Be quick. And this life, I just want to take a few moments to talk about. Let's look at, you know what, I think, Mom, what it boils down to, and maybe this will help some people. We get so consumed with what's happening, even today. What's happening yesterday? What's happened today? You're worrying over this. You lost your job. You had a setback. And you just worry over it instead of being able to give that to Jesus and let him shine light on it. You hold it and you worry over it and you think about it and you get so consumed with this stuff that's going on. Remember, if we can't, we get tired just in the normal everyday stuff that happens. How are we going to run with the horses? Mm-hmm. You're not going to keep up.
That's right.
And so
another scripture it says would apply to that is roll your care over on the Lord. If you're in unforgiveness, you carry care.
You do.
I mean, you think about it when you wake up, and you think about it during the day, and you think about it when you go to bed. What does it do? It gets on you. Mm-hmm. It's called a burden. A burden comes on you. You can't be happy that way. You have to roll your works over on the Lord, and you have to forgive. That's for your sake. You forgive for your sake as well as the other person's sake.
And it takes.
If you have aught against any, if you have anything against anybody, our instructions are to forgive. Now, when I forgive, what happens? I go free from it. I don't have to think about it anymore. I'm not burdened by it anymore. I don't think bad thoughts about those people anymore. I've forgiven. Isn't that great able to do that?
And it takes humility. It takes...
Yes.
You might feel like not forgiving, but it doesn't matter. You just do what Jesus said anyway. Getting rid of strife. Getting rid of that junk out of your life. Getting rid of worry. I heard, even from a natural perspective, worry doesn't make sense.
No, it's
care doesn't make sense. I heard a quote, this lady was the junior fashion editor for Harper's Bazaar in 1975, and she got fired. She's the editor now, or lead head of some big magazine like Vogue or something. I'm not all into that, so I don't know. But she said everyone should get sacked at least once. It forces you to look at yourself. She says it's important to have setbacks, you know, because she said that's the reality of life. She said perfection doesn't exist. What we know is that our perfection is in Him. Right. And it is so freeing to not worry about our lives and to let our perfection be in Him. You know, He takes setbacks, or not setbacks for us, they're setups. You know what a setback will do for you? I'm just trying to describe to you how worry is useless.
Yeah.
Because every person of faith I know that's ever had a setback, it has become a setup. Because you just get out of your comfort zone.
Step up another notch.
When you have a setback or something that appears to be a setback, get you out of your comfort zone and you start pressing. You're like, what do I need to change, Lord? What do I need to do, Lord? This is how faith people who have opened up their soul don't let negative stuff get planted in there. They just see this as, all right, God, what are you going to do next? Because you're going to carry me through.
Amen.
And when you get free, it's so easy to trust Him because He's so trustworthy. So a setback can become a setup for something
bigger.
Awesome.
Good.
Because it's good to get out of our comfort zone. And sometimes it's just good. I mean, when you quit worrying about your life, then you're really putting it in His hands, and you actually let Him be about the business of perfecting you changing you.
Amen.
And that's how we don't get bogged down in this stuff. You know, Mom, there is talking about the foot race and the horse race. There is in 2 Timothy 2, I want to read that real quick.
What version do you like?
This is the Amplified version of this. And what I liked about it was it's such a process. This whole thing is such a process for not getting bogged down, not getting entangled not letting little things stop you from the big things.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? God has a plan. You have a wonderful book called God's Master Plan. He has a good plan for you.
Amen.
And
to what?
This is in 2 Timothy 2, and I'm just going to read like different verses in it. So it's like all together it's 1 through 26, but I'm not reading 26 verses. So I pulled out the ones here I want to read. It talks about standing aloof from iniquity. And it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also utensils of wood and earthenware, and some for honorable and noble use, and some for menial and ignoble use. So whoever cleanses himself from whatever is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influence, will then himself be a vessel set apart. So whatever vessel we are is our choice.
That's right.
That's not God that says, well, you're this and you're less important, so you're this. It's the positioning that we have with Him. It's letting Him in to cleanse us, letting Him in our soul to get rid of junk, and then determining to walk and do the things that He calls us to do is what declares if what kind of vessel you are. And you can be one type of vessel today and you can be another type tomorrow by doing the things that we've talked about the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It says, and profitable to the master. I want to be profitable for Him.
Amen.
This is fit and ready for any good work. Now, you know, He's been telling me to say every day, He's making me fit. I am fit for the master's use, spirit, soul, and body. That's a good thing to say.
It
gives Him entry into your daily life. It says, aim at and pursue righteousness. All that is virtuous and good, right living, conformity
pursue
to the
it.
Will of God.
Make an effort.
Make an effort. And I love this because it describes the process, Mom. Conforming to the will of God in thought, mm-hmm. word, and deed. It's a process, and you can't conform in deed till you conform in word, and you can't conform in word till you conform in thought. So conforming your thoughts will
That's
lead
right.
to conforming what comes out of your mouth.
You'll be a word people.
And then it'll conform to what you actually do
That's right.
with your life.
Amen. That's right.
And so, let's see, refuse, shut your mind against, have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid
That's
controversies.
Right.
Over ignorant questionings. This is just junk. You know they foster strife and breed mm-hmm. quarrels. And if you're having trouble with strife in your life and you're having trouble with relationships in your life, these are the things will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't control other people, but you can
control you. Maybe. You can
and,
if you make an effort.
Yeah.
So it
the
says
Lord
also,
will help
it says
you.
Where there's strife, in the scripture it says where there's strife, there's confusion. And every evil work. So strife is a serious enemy to our well-being.
That's true.
Serious enemy.
And the more
and
you
it also says forgive if you have aught against any. So that just settles the
it
issue.
It settles it. And the more you do what he says, the more you turn your life over to him
yep,
towards
right.
that, the more he can influence others through you. But you trying to influence others is just really controlling. So this is a formula really for that. Relationships and everything. The servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting, contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone, mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher. We talked about how you get to that place. Patient, forbearing, willing to suffer wrong. This woman, that's who you are. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope. Listen to this, Mom. This is a prayer you can pray. That God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth. You can't make somebody repent, but
That's
you can
right.
pray, Lord, grant
yes.
that someone
and you
will repent and come to know the truth. In the meantime, you're still free.
You can forgive.
Yes.
You
forgive it.
Can forgive.
And you be free. And that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him. And then from that point on, to do God's will. You can pray that for somebody. You can receive that for yourself. And your life can change.
Praise
and
the Lord.
And where I want to go from here, Mom, is to talk about, I want to talk about John 15. Because we don't want to get... Oh, wait, did I ever read 2 Timothy? Yeah, I just did. Good. John 15, we don't want to get embroiled down in those things. We want him to prune us. We want to understand that he has this picture. You know, maybe we'll save that for tomorrow because I have a picture for you to look at. God has a picture for our lives. And you may recognize this pillow because I sort of borrowed this from you last year. And I sort of have had it in my bedroom because it's so pretty.
Well,
but look, isn't that pretty?
You should this, start to think about returning
well, it. Well, you actually gave me permission.
Oh.
But it is a beautiful pillow, but it's a beautiful design.
Mm-hmm.
But when these are stitched and everything, they look so pretty. But do you know, at one point in my life, I did a little... whatever this is, cross stitch. And look at the back. It's pretty ugly when it's in process.
It's
still
work.
Unfinished, yeah. It's been about 15 years, I think. But anyway, the front is sort of taking shape, but
oh,
the
I
back
see.
Looks not good.
Yeah, I see.
And
what
sometimes we tend to think about our lives as this looks messy and junky, but God doesn't look at us that way. He
Thank
has a picture
God.
In his mind.
Thank you, Father.
And you know, I have this one. Not only is that one unfinished, this one is not even started.
It's still strings.
But it's a puppy. I don't know if you can tell here. I bought this still in the back, obviously. When I have some free time,
when you
maybe
have
I'll get
a finished
to it.
Work, bring it back.
Finished work. But you know what? This picture is how we start out with God already having a plan for us.
That's right.
And when
a
we
pattern.
Get so
He has a pattern.
When we get so focused on how it looks to us that this is just messy. This is not pretty. I can't put this out in front of people. Well, no, ding dong. You're supposed to let them. This is the side that shows. But if you focus on this, if you're embroiled in all this junk, that's what people will see.
That's what strife looks like.
That's what you're presenting to others. But when you present to people the peace of God and the love of God, and you present to Him your life to be pruned, we're going to talk about tomorrow, your life becomes beautiful. And in John 15, we'll see that that's when you have fruit.
Could I throw a scripture in that would save a lot of heartache? It's very short. Forgive if you have aught against any.
That's right.
Anything against anybody, we let it go.
Let it go.
So what happens? You know, they probably don't even know the difference. But you and I go free when we do that. We forgive if we have anything against anybody.
That's the best word.
Glory to God. That's the love
Cut
of God.
Cut to the chase.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'll be right back. We'll share some good things with you.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.